Welcome back to the Enduring Churches podcast. I'm Alan Small here with Trent Young, and we are excited to be coming to you around Thanksgiving. And what a beautiful time of year. In spite of everything that goes on in the world, it is so important for us to be reminded of the importance of a thankful season. Thanksgiving is a word that's used in the Bible an awful lot. It's how we are supposed to approach God, is with thanksgiving. And so we want to begin today by just reviewing something we were actually talking about a year ago at this time regarding being thankful. So Trent, why don't you kind of remind us where we were last year?
Yeah, Alan, about this time last year, we were putting together a podcast and thinking, as we led into the Thanksgiving season. And I read an article by Debbie McDaniel, a pastor's wife, that she had put out talking about a thankful heart. And, I think it's so true still that we have so much to be grateful for. I know right now as we're recording this, there's a lot of people that are down about our country and our situation and just frustrated with life. And so it's hard to find things to be thankful for, but I'm still very thankful. And a year ago, we were thankful, probably a little more optimistic than we are now. God has brought us, myself, my family through a lot, and Alan through a lot. And so we started talking about last year about the power of a grateful heart. And so I guess, I think it's good for us to kind of hit that again, Alan.
Yeah. I think those were seven really good things, because what does gratitude does, it gets our eyes off ourselves. I mean, that was the first one that she had mentioned, and that's certainly true. We put our attention on God. And, I love something. I've been working with a dog trainer to help me train my new Doberman. And one of the things he said is, whatever your dog is looking at is what he's thinking about. And isn't that true for us?
Yeah.
Whatever we put our eyes on is what we're thinking about.
That is really good. And the things that we focus on, and we, if we're navel gazers and just constantly focusing on ourselves and our situation, then we're going to be negative because there's so much that we're not in control of. But instead, if we focus back on God and how great he is, how much he's blessed us, that is tremendous. And so the second thing that we talked about a year ago is that it reminds us that we're not in control. Amen. I really feel that, Alan.
Right. Yeah. We're not in control, are we? And I think we all can use a lesson in the sovereignty of God sometimes to remind ourselves that God is working this toward his conclusion. And certainly we have choices we make within the framework of that, but he is still in control. And it is a good reminder. And I think Thanksgiving is a wonderful time to remember that God does have a plan and a purpose, and he's working the world to that end. The third one was, it helps us to recognize that we have so much to be thankful for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's unfortunate, Alan, that we really don't talk about that until we get to November. And then we get to those family gatherings and we start asking people, so what are you thankful for? And instead of all year long being thankful and listing off those things. There's an old hymn, Alan, that says, count your many blessings, name them one by one. I think that's a skill and a thing that we need to do a lot more often.
Yes. And, that was one of my goals for this year, was to actually practice a thankful journal. And I'll admit that COVID kind of ruined me on that.
Yeah,
I really would like to start next year off and make another great attempt at reminding myself of all that I have to be thankful for. Because God, and the fourth one, it reminds us that God's the giver of all good gifts, and He is the one who gives. And we call Him Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Mm-hmm. And what a beautiful word. One of my favorite ones in scripture is to think of God as provider.
He does provide. He is amazing. And you know, that's verse that all of us quote, John 3:16, that you see even people holding up signs in football games. It starts off by telling us that God so loved that he gave. And so God is a giver. He loves, and because of that, he gives. Alan, you mentioned your thankful journal. One thing that our family does is we have a blessings jar, and we write down things that we're thankful for throughout the year. And then at the end of the year, we take all those little slips of paper out and we go back and we read them all. And so that it reminds us how good God's been all year long.
Yeah, that's a great idea, and encourage people to find a way to remember what all the wonderful things that God has provided for you throughout the year. You know, the next one, Trent, says a heart for gratitude leaves no room for complaining. Can we skip this one? I mean,
yeah.
I don't know about you. I've struggled to really work hard as a leader in our church and as the one who's visible to, you know, whether it's not complaining about masks or distancing or politics or all these kinds of things. It is really hard to be intentional about not complaining. And then you find yourself complaining about not complaining.
I think that complaining is, I don't know. It seems like that's the natural thing. Maybe that's part of our sin nature. It just comes so easy to complain, and it's, being positive is almost a stretch, and it's almost hard. So one of the next things that we mentioned last year is it makes the enemy flee. Having a thankful heart makes the enemy flee. You know, it that praising God, he says that he inhabits the praises of his people. And so where he is, our enemy cannot be.
Yeah, I love the idea that he doesn't like to hang around where God's people are content in the presence of the Lord. And, you know, that is an encouragement for us. And I think that's one we don't think about often enough, that, you know, the enemy cannot stand where people are really praising God. And, of course, Paul and Silas in jail worshiping God in the middle of the night. You know, the enemy thought he had won a little battle there, and he realized how much he lost it before the night was over. And it's a good reminder for all of us. Well, the seventh one, Trent, is this. It opens up the door for continued blessings. Now, God continues to bless anyway, but maybe we don't see it.
Right. Us having a thankful heart, I think it refocuses, like we mentioned before, it refocuses our eyesight on what God is up to and looking for his presence. And I mentioned before that he does inhabit the praises of his people. And so God, you know, not only are we inviting him to be there with us, which his blessings overflow from his character, but then it also, like you said, it helps us to be prepared to see what he's up to.
And so, Trent, a year ago, we had gone over all of these. We had talked about these at a much greater detail and depth. And a couple of days after this recording came out, you were getting ready for Thanksgiving, and a lot of things changed all of a sudden for Thanksgiving. So what happened?
Well, Alan, yeah, a lot of things changed is absolutely right. We had gone up to the panhandle of Oklahoma to be with my wife's family, and we were there just hanging out. And I had spent the day walking back and forth, going out to the farm and doing several things. And I just wasn't feeling good. And I had this pain that was kind of radiating down my shoulder and my left arm. And I mentioned that to Dana, and she said, get in the car, we're going to the hospital. And so ended up at the hospital in Elkhart, Kansas, which is a little town and a little hospital. They're great people, super, super people that were very kind and took very good care. But they immediately said, hey, we're not equipped to handle this. And so they put me on an airplane, which an ice storm was fixing to come in. It was crazy night. And flew me to Amarillo, Texas, And then I spent the next couple of weeks being in the hospital. Ended up having what I was expecting was like, well, it'll be no big deal. I'll just have a stent maybe. But I ended up having 5 bypasses during the course of that time. And I was so ready to get out of there by the time I did.
And that was on the heels of another kind of a shaking moment for you. It had only been a matter of months since Dana had had a scary situation, right?
Yeah. In October, a year, well, I guess 2 years previous to that, she had had an aneurysm in her brain that burst. And so, you know, golly, we were at the Oklahoma City Hospital for a month, you know, between being in the hospital. She was in ICU for almost a month and then at rehab. And so, man, I tell you what, that was the scariest time in my life. It was weird. The heart thing didn't scare me near as much as her being in the hospital, but all those things, it was, you know, God has taken us through some crazy things, but I want everybody to know I'm so thankful because God is good.
Yeah. You know, I think we all have these moments where, you know, our hearts break, and there's been a lot of broken hearts this year, even on a smaller scale. If you just take, you know, all the seniors of high school and college who didn't get graduation ceremonies as they normally mm-hmm. would get, or athletes not getting their sports season, or you know, getting worse, loved ones not being able to see loved ones who are in the hospital or sick, or even to say the final farewell to someone because of COVID. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you think about all the brokenness that is around us, and you add to that all the just little stresses, you know, people learning to try to work from home when their kids are running around and all this other kinds of things. And there's a lot, I think, this year you say, well, my whole life's been taken away from me. Why should I be thankful? You know, why should I practice Thanksgiving when everything around me is falling apart? And I think that's it's a real question. It may not always be the right question. And pastors, church leaders, you are not some super person that doesn't feel all those pressures crashing in around you.
That's right. Yeah, there's so many people that are dealing with depression, right, Alan? They're just, you know, because everything in our lives has been shaken up, and the things that we counted on maybe were taken away. And I think this is really God getting our attention, honestly, to get us to focus back on Him, because we've counted on too many things outside of our God. And so, you know, it's a scary time. It's a sad time. It's a frustrating time. But again, God is still good, and we need to focus on Him.
Yeah, Trent. So, you know, talk to us a little bit about just kind of, you know, that road to recovery, because now that you're a year out from it, you know, let's talk about some of just the practical physical things. You know, how has this year maybe changed you a little bit?
Well, it's been really strange, Alan. I guess God has been using these last 3 years to really change me and change my outlook and to change my heart, physical heart and emotional heart. But, you know, I've learned a few things. One of them is I only learned the hard way.
that Jonah in us comes out a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah. Man, I was like, okay, God, could you just send me like a sign somewhere on the side of the road and skip all this other stuff? And so even, you know, today as I sit here and we're recording this, you know, my chest where I have a zipper now is what everybody who's been through a heart surgery, they call it. And, you know, part of your chest is still kind of numb where they cut those nerves. And so there's those lasting effects. You know, that I was like, man, I really wish I could have not had that part. But I really have learned a lot. I really do have way more peace in my life than I ever did in the course of my entire life in after the last 3 years. Just especially in this last year, God has given me so much peace, and I'm loving that.
Yeah, you know, peace is one of those things that I think can be very eluding to us. And I think it's a lot like when we start talking about prayer habits of pastors. I think it's one of those things that we can lose sight of sometimes, that we want to be ambassadors of peace and talk to people about how, well, God can give you peace in the midst of your struggle, your trial, your storm. And then we struggle to find that peace ourselves, and to because peace is often tied to patience, and that's not something that we like very much. And so I think that's a really good one, that as God continues to teach you, and as I watch you in that, as it continues to teach me as well, as I learn vicariously through you in that matter.
Alan, all of us, as pastors, we're all, we're still a hot mess most of the time. We like to put on a brave face for our families and our churches, but yeah, we're all learning. And I know that in this past year, during this last 6 months especially, depression has been a real deal in a lot of pastors. I talked to a lot of friends that are in ministry, Alan does too, and depression is real, and it's exploding throughout ministry. And so, this is, when we talk about peace, I don't know, it's a struggle, Alan, to get that. And I hate that we have to go through hard things to learn it, but I think it's an important thing to talk about the problem with depression. And there's been people who, even talked about suicide, and that's why Alan and I do this, is because we care about you. We want you to have somebody to talk to.
Yeah, and you need to talk to somebody. Don't hold everything in, especially this year. Mm-hmm. It is important to get these matters out. And peace and faith go hand in hand. And Trent, one of the things you've talked about a little bit is how in the last year your faith has grown in your ability to trust God with your todays and tomorrows. Explain what you mean when you say something like that.
Well, and that's a phrase that I have adopted, and I say it all the time to my church and to people around, is that I really, I could talk about trust before, but I think it's become way more real to me in the last 3 years. But I do trust God with my today, and I trust God completely with all of my tomorrows. I think before I would sort of trust God, but I was always like, okay, God, but I know what needs to happen better than you do. And so here's the plan. And if you don't do it according to my plan, then I was angry with God. But it's taken me a while, and it's taken me going through hard things to understand how good God is. Being in God's word has taught me so much, and understanding that he does have good plans for us. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to give you a future and a hope, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Verses like that become real to you when you're going through hard things. And so because of that, and because of Romans 8:28 and all these other scriptures that I've been through, I really do trust God completely with my tomorrows.
Yeah, and the cool part about trust is it also doesn't mean though that we neglect things. And if we come back to for instance, to the issue like with your heart, there are also some physical things that you learned in regards to all of that, or some adjustments that you had to make. And faith and trust doesn't mean that we don't do preventative maintenance and those kinds of things that we need to do on ourselves, but it just means that we understand again the sovereignty of God, and that God is at work in our lives, and he's using us in our lives, even in those times when it seems he is silent or he's far away. He's not. That's usually our problem, not his problem.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that just came to mind, Alan, you know, when we ask people at church or wherever, you know, what are the things you're thankful for? And one of the first things that comes up is family. And I think this is an opportune time for you to take, as a pastor, for you to take and have some conversations with your family and just ask them, hey, how are you guys doing? We spend so much time asking and being there for our church family that sometimes our immediate family, our wives, our children, can feel left out of that. And they're going through that same struggle that everybody else is through this year, the year from hell, as some people call it. And so they're dealing with depression too and struggles. And so this is a great time to ask them, hey, how are you doing? Let's talk.
Absolutely. So important for us to be willing and able to do that. And so, you know, again, thankfulness is an important thing. And Trent, I am so thankful that God has allowed us another year while doing our podcast. And I don't know about you, but I do know that we look forward to those next few episodes coming up, because we're getting closer to 100, and that's really exciting.
It is. You know, when we started this, Alan, I don't know if that I thought we could get to 100. And so, yay.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So, you know, we are grateful that people take time to listen. And so to everyone who listens, thank you. Please share this podcast with others. We'd like to get the word out. We'd like to continue to grow this podcast and be a blessing to churches and church leaders. Our desire and hope is that you and your church endure. And that's why we do this. We do care about you. If you need, please reach out to us. If we can be of any assistance to you, come alongside you in any way. Alan at enduringchurches.consulting, Trent at enduringchurches.consulting, our website at enduringchurches.com, or on our Facebook page at Enduring Churches. You can reach out to us in any number of ways. We would love to hear from you. You may even have an idea for a future podcast. We'd love to take you up on that. But we do hope that you have a wonderful and blessed Thanksgiving. We hope and pray that as we come toward the end of 2020, that 2021 is going to be a year of blessing and great results in the life of you, in your own life, and in the life of your church. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to catching you on our next episode.